Welcome to the Flying Solo Podcast. I am your host, Katie Kangas, and each week on the show, we will talk about how to take flight and follow your dreams as a solopreneur architect. In this first full-length episode, we are going to talk about how form follows flight, and how birds have been an inspiration to me as I've interviewed different architects, and it's been a way to talk about how architects practice their business strategies. And a lot of it comes down to the perspective of birds and how they can pivot and the possibilities of being able to see a long-term vision for yourself and your firm. What does it mean to be an architect? What does an architect do? Do we design buildings? Solve problems? Do we take care of buildings when they start to collapse or go out of use? Do we just select the materials inside and outside of buildings? Or do we focus on technical detailing? Do we preserve historic resources, research new materials and technologies for resilient building solutions? Or do we just draw all day, which honestly is what I thought an architect did when I first entered the profession, and it initially attracted me to becoming an architect. But the truth is, architects fill so many different roles. Once we've gone through our education, interning, and exams, and we've earned that title of architect, the learning doesn't stop. Many of us move into leadership, either of projects or of firms. And with leadership comes new responsibilities: marketing, writing contracts, managing client relationships, coordinating with consultants, working with contractors. And if you decide to run a business yourself, suddenly you're also dealing with finances, setting fees, invoicing, HR, hiring and firing, outsourcing, and creating a vision and mission for your practice. There are so many ways that architects practice. And today I want to focus on what that looks like when you're flying solo, when you're practicing alone as an architect. But before we compare architectural practice to birds, let's address what a traditional architecture firm looks like. In school and in practice, the standard model for firms is often described as a triangle. At the top of the triangle sits one principal, the architect of record, an ultimate decision maker. Traditionally, they set the tone of the entire office, even the drawing standards. Beneath them are project managers who coordinate teams and consultants. And at the base are drafters and emerging professionals who do the day-to-day work. Rena Klein expands upon these triangles as staffing models for small firms, and you can read about it in detail in A Small Firm's Guide to Professional Practice. She describes the three models as an obtuse triangle, which is a broad base of general labor, which leverages efficiency; an equilateral triangle, which is a balance at all levels of the staff, where the project tasks flow based on experience; and then a tall, narrow triangle representing expertise. Think of a 10-foot Christmas tree filled with specialists and higher-level managers working on high-fee niche projects. These triangles describe stability and hierarchy. As architects, we do use a lot of triangles. They're strong, reliable, and efficient. But what if your firm could be more than just stable? What if your firm could adapt? What if it could move or even fly? Enter the solopreneur. When the firm is just you, you don't need to replicate the triangle. Instead, you shape the firm around yourself. And if the firm is just you, there's a lot more flexibility. You can leverage your strengths, define your own vision, and adapt your approach to practice architecture the way you decide is best. Some solopreneurs choose to generalize, where you just take whatever comes your way. And so sometimes that's through client referrals. You just take whatever projects other clients refer to you, and you fulfill the needs that they have. If you start, sometimes it's with one home renovation, and then the next person may need a bathroom renovation, or they may own a small cafe that needs an interior remodel. And if we think about birds, this is kind of like word-of-mouth marketing, which reminds me of a songbird moving from backyard to backyard. You can imagine a neighborhood. One family may have a red cardinal perched outside their window. Down the street, someone else notices a yellow finch at the feeder. And another neighbor maybe notices the blue jay and their bold cry. Each bird brings its own distinct presence, its color, its song, and its energy. And the neighbors share the stories of experiencing these different birds, just like our clients share the experience of working with us as different types of architects. And they talk about the color that you brought to their life and the new melody that you added to their daily routine and how the space feels because of your design. And that story spreads. A neighbor, a family member, a colleague hears it and thinks, you know what? I need that red, that yellow, that blue. I need that in my space too. I need that in my house. I need that in my business. And just like putting out birdseed to invite a songbird to their own backyard, they'll reach out to you so that your design can make that same difference in their life. And so step by step, backyard by backyard, you move through referrals. You take on projects that come your way. And sometimes there are just small projects lying around and they look like nothing. But if you're willing to pick up these little projects, you'll make a fat profit, kind of like a turkey that's pecking away at anything lying around on the ground. Sometimes these are messy projects that were left for dead at the side of the road, and you can rescue them, and you can finish these abandoned projects and carry them through to completion. But you need a hard stomach, kind of like a vulture, who's willing to pick up the roadkill and finish it off and make this world a more beautiful place. So those are a few ways that you can generalize in your project type or geography to serve a wide range of clients. But what if you would like to leverage your experience when shaping your professional practice? There are many ways to leverage your experience, whether it's through a specific style or a process or even a geography. If you want to be known for your architectural style, then you're spending time on awards and project tours and getting your work into publications with good quality photography. And what bird is known for its style but a peacock? You would always recognize those feathers. And when people see your architectural style, they know to come to you to get that look on their project. Your experience may have helped define your process, and it may make you exceptional at applying for government projects with request for qualifications that are very difficult to get through in arduous interview processes. But if you've spent a lifetime building that type of experience, you're a bit like a toucan who's honed its beak in such a way that it can crack through the thick husk of a coconut, just like that initial effort of applying for a proposal. Or your experience has made you very aware of the needs of your community, and you have listened to certain people in your community, say a community of entrepreneurs who are leveraging the same resources, and you're right there with them starting your own business, and you know about your geography, and you know about grant opportunities. Well, that's a lot like a heron standing there in a lake. The waters are calm because the heron has been there watching, and when a project comes by, an opportunity comes by, a heron is able to reach out and grab it because they know the community, they know the waters, and they're very aware of everything that's happening around them. So we've looked at ways that you can generalize or ways that you can leverage your expertise. But what about the third? What if you want to specialize in your practice? What if you want to be known for your precision? If you are the type of architect who has a highly refined process that operates on a different frequency than those around you, you may be like a hummingbird who's able to travel hundreds of miles, thousands of miles to touch on each project very lightly. But these projects need to be very rich in the nectar that they provide. You may have a specific client that you are uniquely attuned to, and you anticipate their needs before they even ask it, and you're able to leverage your entire skill set and take care of problems that are bugging them, kind of like an oxpecker on the back of a rhino or a giraffe or a zebra. These are symbiotic relationships where the oxpecker is able to take away those bugs and ticks that are bothering the larger creature, and both are better off for the relationship. Or maybe your firm is just the A-team, the best of the best, who's able to have fierce focus and efficiency when fulfilling the needs of their client. Much like a falcon on the arm of a falconer, the falcon is able to fly away and attack and kill with great efficiency. And so you start to see all these different models of firms and how you can shape your business around yourself, and it leads to endless possibilities. Not everyone is going to be a falcon on the hunt, or a turkey just taking whatever projects are lying around. Only you can decide. And throughout this podcast, I will interview many different types of solopreneurs and firm owners who have defined and built their professional practice in ways that work for them. It all comes down to questions that you have to ask yourself. What are your personal strengths and weaknesses? What clients do you serve best? What projects can you do profitably? And what geography do you want to work in? The answer to these questions shape your practice, and they bring about three powerful benefits. It helps you make faster decisions because you know what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. It provides a clear directive, so clients, collaborators, and even other architects can refer work your way with confidence. And it gives you a true direction, shaping not just your current practice, but where you want it to go. So because there is a gap between where you are and where you want to go, knowing the direction you want your firm to go is the first step towards that change. And change takes big moves that start with these small steps. So as we've explored today, the triangle of traditional practice is just one way to imagine the work of an architect. But when you're flying solo, you're not bound to that shape. You have the chance to create a practice that reflects your own strengths, your own rhythms, and the kind of work you most want to do. And that's really at the heart of this podcast, Flying Solo. Flying Solo is here so you can hear from architects who have each chosen a different way to build their practice. Some have leaned into generalizing, some into experience, and some into a deep specialization. Each story is different, but each one offers inspiration and practical insight for how you might start your own firm or refine the way you're practicing. Because there isn't just one way to be an architect. There are as many ways as there are architects willing to shape their own path. My hope is that by listening to these conversations, you'll discover new possibilities for your own practice and the courage to let your work take flight. This episode was brought to you in collaboration with Entre Architect, which is a fantastic community for finding like-minded entrepreneurs who are there to support you in your business journey. Please subscribe, share, and join the Flying Solo Movement community. We are just taking flight. Please join this journey for ongoing inspiration, support, and resources. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Katie Kengis. My hope is to encourage aspiring entrepreneurs and architects to soar to new heights and embrace the freedom of flying solo.